As I was praying about what to teach on, because we just finished a whole series in Colossians, one thing that I want to go into soon is a teaching on the entire book of John. How many of you are excited for that? What I want to do, though, I really feel like I'm supposed to wait to start that when we get into the new campus. So I was praying about what to speak on tonight, and I got the message, and I've been dwelling on it for 3 or 4 days, and I was almost at this block where I knew the Lord told me to speak on this. And then last night, I get a text message from the worship team saying, hey, I feel like we're supposed to add the song We Fall Down at the end of the set list, and which if you know anything about us, we have a set list, but it's not really much of a set. We just kind of flow in the spirit. But the song was We Fall Down, We Lay Our Crowns at the Feet of Jesus. And that is my message today, if you're taking notes, at the feet of Jesus. I love those moments where the Lord gives you a message and then it gets confirmed. So I know the Lord wants to do something very special tonight in this. I don't think this is going to be very long. If y'all didn't hear what she had to say, don't go up to her and ask. But I do feel like it's something we need. I'm going to start in Luke 10. And at the very end of this, I saw something in one of these stories that I've never seen before that I want to build up to. I want to start in Luke 10, verses 38 through 42. As Jesus and the disciples continued on their way to Jerusalem, they came to a certain village where a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. Her sister Mary sat at the Lord's feet, listening to what he taught, but Martha was distracted by the big dinner she was preparing. I love that it was a big dinner. She was getting it right. She came to Jesus and said, Lord, doesn't it seem unfair to you that my sister just sits here while I do all the work? Tell her to come and help me. But the Lord said to her, my dear Martha, you are worried and upset over all these details. There is only one thing. There is only one thing worth being concerned about. Mary has discovered it, and it will not be taken away from her. Martha was so distracted in this moment by the details that she missed the one thing to be concerned about, sitting at the feet of Jesus to receive what he had for them in that moment. And what I really felt like the Lord was telling me is that I am concerned that many times we can get too distracted with getting it right that we forget that we get to sit at the feet of the one who is right. We get distracted, and are we praying the right way? Are we worshiping the right way? We get too distracted in judging styles or overthinking things. We even get distracted in the notion of you better be ready if Christ were to come back tomorrow. And I know that might sound weird. How can you get distracted in this idea of I want to be ready for Christ to return? Because you're distracted from the present reality of Christ. We get so consumed in I can't wait for him to come back that you forget he is here as much as he will be. We adopted a little phrase from Damon Thompson. It's about the already, not yet. He's already here, and he's not yet returned. But his presence of already here is just as present as the day he comes back. And if we will start to receive that notion, we will start to approach a life with Jesus differently, because it's not a life with Jesus that is a God that's far away. It is life with the Lord that is right here in our midst and in the presence every single moment of our lives. And when we start to get wrapped up in, I can't wait for him to come back, again, you will get distracted that you have the opportunity to live at the feet of Jesus. Rather than finding joy and pleasure in the current posture at his feet, distractions will take your eyes off the one who is always with us. The Lord says there is one thing to be concerned about, that Jesus is with us. And sitting at the feet of Jesus is like, I am ready to accept his teachings. I'm ready to obey him. I love what Tay said when he said, I want to make this declaration of fully surrendered. That's a posture of at the feet. Of all I want is to be surrendered to him. I'm ready to accept his teachings. I'm ready to obey him. I'm not trying to earn the Lord's presence. I simply admire who he is. Sitting at the feet of Jesus is, I refuse to rebel from remaining in a humble position. The Lord wants us humble to be used by him. But a lot of times we rebel to that humility and get on a pride path of, but I want to do this, but I want to do that. I see it a lot that the Lord is calling a people in Savannah to go deeper than ever before, but we keep settling for things that are not deep at all. The church has embraced more tactics from the world than just simply getting at his feet. We try to be relevant to everything going on in a culture that we're called to change. The only thing relevant we need to be to is to the posture of at the feet of the one who provides all we need. Sitting at the feet of Jesus, it's I want to be discipled by him. Sitting at the feet of Jesus is we're more in love with his presence than our preparation. We're more in love with his presence than our preparation. Why was Martha preparing for a dinner when the dinner was already being offered? John 6 says that Jesus is the bread of life, the only communion we ever need. Martha was trying to prepare to feed. Mary understood that there was someone else doing the feeding in the room. The Lord was with them. Mary was not distracted by dinner time in the natural. She was surrendered to a dinner not of this world. And a lot of times we will get distracted with dinners of the world. We want to feed off of success. We want to feed off of drive. We want to feed off our careers. We want to feed off of building our own things. There is nothing wrong with doing all those things. There's nothing wrong with a successful career. There's nothing wrong with building things for yourself. There's nothing wrong with succeeding in all these things. But if they don't flow from I'm satisfied at the feet, you will be let down in what you're trying to be satisfied from. If you're seeking satisfaction from success, you're missing satisfaction in the midst of failure. And what happens in life is if you're consumed with I need to succeed, you will fall down on your face when you fail. But if you're at the feet of Jesus, whether you fail or whether you succeed, you're always satisfied. Pastors are guilty of this a lot with building churches because they mark success in how many people will come instead of have we attained a place where he can lay his head. My idea of success as a pastor is not thousands of people in a room. It's every single person in the room growing in their revelation of I'm at the feet of Jesus. Moving past I want to get to him and embracing I am with him. And oftentimes what happens in church, especially in the charismatics, is that we think of revival culture and we want revival. How many of you would love revival in the area? How many of you want restoration of the kingdom in the area? Problem is, a lot of times we think of revival culture in the terms of Martha. I need to prepare something so that I can receive him. Martha knew that Martha is the one that welcomed Jesus into her home. And she was distracted and overwhelmed with, let me prepare a great thing for my Lord. And in preparing the great thing for the Lord, she missed the Lord. She knew he was there, but she missed the fact that he was there. She missed the fact that I don't need to prepare anything because he's already here. And what happens in church culture is I think most of the time we're preparing for a return instead of sitting at his feet to say, here I am. We're preparing for presence when presence has already been purchased and attained. I have been getting so sick of hearing preachers saying, Lord, would your presence come into this place? The Lord never left. And I say that boldly because this is a revelation that God has opened me up to in this past year and a half. So I used to say it all the time, Lord, we invite your presence in this place. If he is omnipresent, you cannot escape it. It's not, Lord, I want to invite you in. It's, Lord, I realign my mind with truth that I am in your presence. And if we realign our minds with the truth that we are in his presence, then we would get less concerned in preparing for a return and more concerned with kissing his feet and pouring it all out. And Lord, I am here with you. And I don't need to go anoint my home because my home is already anointed in the presence of God. Okay, some of you didn't like that. Let me say it in a different way. There is nothing wrong with going to your home and putting oil over the doorways. But don't think that that action invited him in. Amen. That action realigns you with the truth that he's there. Yes. Breaking off curses over your life. When you declare, Lord, I forgive my mom or my father and I break these generational curses, it's not necessarily that you made a transaction in that moment. It's you realign yourself with the truth that he already broke those curses, and you're coming into a feet of Jesus moment where you're not hoping he saves you. You're saying yes to the reality that you've already been released, Amen. That you've already been freed. Amen. I rebuke the spirit of religion. Spirit of religion has already been rebuked. I rebuke the spirit of this, the spirit of that. There's nothing wrong with saying those things. I'm not coming against you declaring that, but make sure you understand you're not declaring it in a fashion of begging. You're declaring it in the idea that I am speaking this from, I'm at the feet of Jesus. Not, I'm doing this so I can get at his feet. When you come in here to pray on Saturday nights, I'm gonna cast vision more. I see a day where we're going to be covering our worship gatherings in prayer and we're going to be worshiping before the band even starts. We're not doing that as an invitation to the Lord. We're doing that at the feet of Jesus, who we don't necessarily have to invite. And I know that's challenging because we've all kind of maybe have grown up in that thinking of, I want to get in the presence. Shift your mind and get at the feet of the one who already is present. It's not I invite him in, it's I change my posture of awareness. Let me say it like this, Matthew 6:33. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. It's not prepare for his coming so that you can seek appropriately. Relentless church, it's not prepare and make sure you get your services perfect so that he can invade. It's bring people into an at the feet of Jesus encounter where everything flows from that revelation that I am with him. And this might seem so simple to you, but if it was so simple, we'd be walking in it. I've got some praise reports this week. I went into the one of my best friends growing up. He went to the hospital because he wouldn't wake up for 24 hours. He was snoring, almost like in a coma state, but he would not wake up. There was a pastor in the area. We've been praying over him, Pastor Ian. He got in a bad motorcycle accident. He's been non-responsive and getting responsive little by little by little. Well, I go up to the hospital this week to visit my friend, and I walk in where my friend is there, and sure enough, it's Pastor Ian's family. So I got to go pray with him, and we've all been praying over him, and praise the Lord, we found out yesterday he opened one of his eyes and looked at his wife and son for the first time, or daughter. But the other cool thing is that I went into my best friend, one of my best friend's room, and his wife was there, and it was my friend and two other friends, and none of them really are believers. And if they are, they're not practicing. And the reason I went in there was because they airlifted him to Memorial because he went to Statesboro and they found a mass at the base of his brain. And I was joking around like, you know, y'all trying to one-up me now? Well, they found the mass at the base of his brain, and the Lord said, go into that room and tell them that release healing over the mass, and that if that thing is gone, it's time for them to get realigned and come back to the Lord. Well, I went in there, and after I was in there about 45 minutes, I said, hey, can I place my hand on your neck? And he's kind of out of it, but he said, yes. So I placed my hand at the bottom where they found the mass, and I just declared and prayed that, Lord, in the waiting of doing the MRIs for this mass, this thing is going to be gone. It's going to decrease and fade away. Over the next couple days, I got a report today. They did an MRI, and then they did another MRI. And then they did another MRI. And I found out today why they probably did three. Because there was no mass. And then I put it on them. I said, y'all remember what I said when I prayed? Now, I'm not sure what they're going to do with that. But what I do know is that I did not go into that room hoping God would work. I went into that room on an assignment from an at the feet of Jesus posture of do whatever you want to do through me so that you would be glorified. Amen. Not so it's a, oh, look what I can do because I'm mature in my faith. It's a, the Lord Jesus is being glorified. And I believe we're going to walk into a day where this is our natural. It won't be surprising when we hear this stuff. We'll get more obsessed with what's next because we're at the feet. Is this speaking to y'all tonight? Yes. Now, it says seek first the kingdom of God. But I want you to pay attention to the few verses before that, starting in verse 25. I say to you, don't worry about your life. Do you hear that? The presence of worry shows that you don't get that you're at his feet. Well, Kyle, I do have worry. Are you saying that I don't think I'm with God? No, I'm saying in that moment you forgot. Don't worry about your life, what you're going to eat, what you're going to drink. Don't worry about your body, what you're going to put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? Which, can I stop there? I see so many Christians these days putting stuff out there like, we're no good. That's the lie. The lie of the enemy wants to convince you you're nothing. And Jesus says, I'm coming to redeem a purpose in you. I created you for great things. We were with him before we were in the womb. God don't create junk. That's all. Verse 27. Which of you, by worrying, can add one cubit to a stature? Why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Now if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is tomorrow, is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you? O ye of little faith, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? What shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek, your heavenly Father knows that you the need of all these things. And then the very next scripture, he says, seek first the kingdom of God. But what happens is we get worried about our style. We get worried about the how. What should we wear? What should we do? Is it right to eat this? Is it wrong to eat that? Can I worship standing up? Can I worship sitting down? Am I not worshiping like them because they're running around the room? And we worry, worry, worry. Oh, they prophesy, I don't. They speak in tongues, they don't. What? And we worry, 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 compare, compare, compare. And the Lord's like, you're missing it. You're doing what Martha did. You're trying to make sure everything is right, but here I am in the room and you've forgotten that the invitation to be at my feet is every moment. Stop being distracted from the truth that he is more than enough. He is more than enough. We need not to worry about are we getting it right when we actually get consumed in the one who is right. Because when we get consumed in him, the effect of that is that we will get it right. When he says, Martha, there's one thing you need to be concerned about. Why? Because if we're concerned about him, all things of him will be manifest. But are we concerned with him? Are we obsessed with being at his feet? Now, John was exiled to the island of Patmos for preaching the word of God. And he opens the book of Revelation by talking about how he was on the island and then this man appeared. And y'all know who the man was. It was Jesus. And he starts to describe Jesus. And I want you to see what he says in Revelation 1:15. It says his feet were like polished bronze refined in a furnace. His voice thundered like mighty ocean waves. I want you to pay attention to that. His feet were like polished bronze refined in a furnace. This is a vision of the glorified Son of God, Jesus in all of his glory. And it says his feet were like a polished bronze that had been refined in a fire. Now, what's significant about this is that bronze was a metal used in the altar of sacrifice in Exodus. It was called the brazen altar. And what would happen at this brazen altar, this was the place of judgment and sacrifice. What's also the thing about bronze was that it was the strongest metal in the ancient world. It represented stability. So this is a picture of John seeing the feet of Jesus representing the place of judgment and stability. And in verse 17, after John sees Jesus, he falls where? At his feet. And this is what Jesus says. When I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead, but he laid his right hand on me, saying to me, do not be afraid. I am the first and the last. I am he who lives, was dead, and behold, I'm alive forevermore, and I have the keys of Hades and of death. There it is. It says he falls at his feet. He fell at the place of judgment. And then Jesus judges him. Don't be afraid. I am. I've got the keys. Now get up and write. Hear that. He falls at the feet of Jesus and Jesus judges him. He reveals who he is to John. He says, don't be afraid, get up and write. Perhaps if we fall at the true place of judgment, we would embrace being judged versus judging ourselves with false altars of repentance created by the religious man of earn. Because what happens, we get afraid of judgment. Well, I don't know what the Lord's going to say about me. You know what the Lord will do when you actually fall at his feet? He'll lift you up. We get afraid of judgment because of our lifestyle. No matter what lifestyle you're in, if you make the decision to come to the feet of Jesus, don't be afraid of the judgment. Embrace the fact that the judgment will be more than you could ever imagine. And there you find your purpose and your calling. When John fell at the feet of Jesus, he said, don't be afraid, I'm the first and the last. I was dead, now I'm alive. Now I want you to write. He got his assignment out of that place. He didn't try to run. He didn't try to run from the fact that he was in the presence already. and praying and seeking. He was seeking first. He wasn't trying to figure out how he's going to live. He just sought the Lord. You see, true repentance is, I turn toward you and fall at the feet of the one who judges rightly. Instead of falling at the judgment of the world and the religious spirit. And that's why a lot of people run from church so much. It's because a lot of times people are judged in the way that is not according to the Lord. It's almost like the church tries to convince people of our dirtiness instead of just his goodness. So when we get obsessed with trying to make sure people feel dirty, why would they ever want to come to him? And we justify it. Yeah, well, they need to feel dirty so they can be washed, but they've already been washed. They just have to say yes to what has been done. Look at Matthew 15. In verse 29, it says, Jesus departed from there, skirted the Sea of Galilee, and went up on the mountain and sat there. And then great multitudes came to him, and having with them the lame, the blind, the mute, the maimed, and many others, they laid them down at Jesus' feet, and he healed them. They didn't do what Martha did. They didn't prepare the people. Well, you got to get discipled before you come to him. They didn't prepare the kitchen. They didn't say, hey, before we bring you to his feet to get healed, you need to repent and you need to build your faith. But that's what we've done in the church. Oh, you're not going to get healed unless you have faith. No, no, no. You get healed when you realize you get a revelation that I get to get to his feet. They weren't preparing these people. They said, let us bring you to the one that is the answer, the one who will judge you rightly. They placed the sick before the right judge. And instead of telling them that their lack of faith has prevented them from getting healed all this time, instead of telling them that they needed to get it right, he simply healed them. And all they needed to do was get at the feet of Jesus. Look at Mark 5, 21 through 23. Jesus got into the boat again and went back to the other side of the lake where a large crowd gathered around him on the shore. And then a leader of the local synagogue, whose name was Jairus, arrived. And when he saw Jesus, he fell at his feet. And what happened? This leader of the synagogue, this religious dude, when he fell at the feet, it said he was pleading fervently, my little daughter's dying. He said, please come and lay your hands on her, heal her so she can live. You know what he did? And all of his religiosity and all of the stuff that he was getting right and all the stuff that he may have gotten wrong, he simply came to the feet of judgment and Jesus judged his heart correctly. I think we get too fearful of God judging actions as if he doesn't look at our heart. So we get distracted by managing actions instead of being consumed in worshiping him at his feet, which will bring about the right actions. Well, I can't come into the presence of God because I've got all this stuff. Bring all that stuff into the presence of God because you're actually already in it. It's let me realign with, I'm with him, why not fall at his feet? What is getting saved? You fell at the feet of the one who's always been with you. He never leaves you. He never forsakes you. He created us, and he's been whispering from the moment we were born. And surrender to the Lord. Lord, here I am, is not, okay, now I get to come to you. It's I'm surrendering because I'm realizing you've always been here, but now I'm getting at the feet. One thing I pray over my daughter every day, and this some of you might not like this, but just hear me out. I am not hoping that one day when she's 6, 7, 10, or 13 that she finally gets saved. I pray that she's grown up and led in such a way where she never walks away from him. Because what we do is we embrace this whole thing of when they're born, they're full of iniquity, they're full of sin, and they're full of all this stuff. I'm telling you, we've got to get out of some of that thinking. If children were such an issue, why are we told to have childlike faith? Maybe we should start bringing children into the hospitals and having them pray a lot more than we do it ourselves. Now, going further in this picture of bronze feet, in ancient times, people used polished bronze as mirrors because glass mirrors with silver backings weren't a thing yet. They weren't invented. So what would happen is they would polish bronze to where it become reflective. And the way they would polish it is they would refine it in a fire. Now, in Revelation 1:15, it described he had feet of bronze like it had been refined in fire. So what is the imagery here? When you come to the feet of Jesus, you get the truest reflection of who you are. Someone's shaking their head that they're like, yes. When you come to the feet of Jesus, you get a true reflection of who you are. Want to know why? Because you were created in his image. So you know what coming to Jesus really is all about and the right judgment of the Lord? It's not let me show you how horrible you are. It's let me show you how I see you, and now let's go on a journey. When you start to see that, see who God created you to be, not the you that has come out of hurt and pain and abuse and all these things in your life. When you start to see who you are in Christ, obedience becomes a delight, not a chore. You see, something happens at the feet of Jesus. And I'm already getting to the end, but this is where I want to lead you to that I never saw before in this passage I'm about to read. When we come to the feet of Jesus, we get a picture of who we really are. The you that has been judged. The moment that's been judged. He says, I'm going to show you who you are, not what you've become. I'm going to show you how the situation works out, not what they're telling you. I'm going to show you everything. But something happens at the feet or the process of getting to the feet that I've never seen before. And in Luke chapter 7, starting in verse 36, this is what it says. One of the Pharisees asked Jesus to have dinner with him. As Jesus went to his home and sat down to eat, when a certain immoral woman from the city heard he was eating there, she brought a beautiful alabaster jar filled with expensive perfume. She knelt behind him at his feet. That's not the part that I never saw before. Weeping, her tears fell on his feet, and she wiped them off with her hair. She kept kissing his feet and putting perfume on them. When the Pharisee who had invited him saw this, he said to himself, if this man were a prophet, he would know what kind of woman is touching him. She's a sinner. Now let me pause right there. Stop worrying about things defiling you. Stop worrying about getting defiled when you get touched by things of the world. Well, someone spoke a curse over me. So? You think their words have more weight than who you are in Christ? Amen. Well, they spoke a curse, I got to rebuke it. Could it be that it was already rebuked if you simply saw your reflection in the feet? Amen. Could it be your rebuke was that you never gave it attention? I've experienced that over the past 3 years. All kind of people saying stuff about me. You know how I rebuked it? I never responded to it. You see, part of understanding wholeness is understanding that when you are truly surrendered, nothing will defile you. That's how you walk through the world with authority. Let me make it very real. I have known believers who won't walk through certain parts of Savannah because there's prostitution, there's psychic readings, there's ghost this and ghost that, and I don't want nothing to get attached to me. If you're scared something's going to get attached to you, I'm telling you, you're not at his feet. Because you're being distracted by everything else instead of him. Oh, I'm scared of my kid going into school. Teach your kid who they are. You won't have to be scared. Look at this, verse 40. Jesus answered his thought. Simon, he said to the Pharisee, I've got something to say to you. You don't want to hear that from the Lord. Go ahead, teacher, Simon replied. Then Jesus told him a story. A man loaned money to two people, 500 pieces of silver to one, 50 to the other. Neither of them could repay him, so he kindly forgave them both, canceling their debts. Who do you suppose loved him more after that? Simon answered, well, I suppose the one from whom he canceled the larger debt. That's right, Jesus said. Now watch this. Then he turned to the woman and said to Simon, look at this woman kneeling here. When I entered your home, you didn't offer me water to wash the dust off my feet, but she's washed them with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You didn't greet me with a kiss, but from the time I first came in, she has not stopped kissing my feet. I want you to notice that she's in the right posture. You neglected the courtesy of olive oil to anoint my head, but she's anointed my feet with rare perfume. I tell you, her sins, and they are many, have been forgiven. So she has shown me much love, but a person who is forgiven little shows only little love. Then Jesus said to the woman, your sins are forgiven. The men at the table said among themselves, who is this man that he goes around forgiving sins? And Jesus said to the woman, your faith has saved you. Go in peace. Now, I want you to pay attention to verse 47. I tell you, her sins, and they are many, have been forgiven, so she has shown me much love. It wasn't she was at my feet, so I forgave her. It was she came to my feet because she has already had a revelation of forgiveness offered. So in other words, when you receive that you're forgiven, it will affect how much you actually pour out at his feet. Because if you don't see you're forgiven, it's like you're timid to pour out more because you're fearing judgment. Or you don't have a revelation of how much he loves you. And you don't give everything to people who kind of love you. You give everything to someone who fully embraces you. That's why in marriage it's, you give your whole self to someone, richer or poorer. You know, good times and the bad times. All of it. This woman had many sins, but she did not have to clean her sins up before she poured out the perfume. She poured out the perfume not because I need him to get me right, but I pour out perfume because I'm recognizing that he's already forgiven me. But what have we done in the church? Repent so that you can come to his presence. No, her repentance was, oh, access has already been granted. And repentance is the response to being at the feet, not the key to get to his feet. Amen. I believe this message needs to get across the region. We are too locked up in, I can't get to the presence of God until I get cleaned up. People need a revelation of how much he loves them and what's been offered so that they will have a reason to pour it all out. When she came into that room, she wasn't looking at the religious person in the room. She wasn't saying, Jesus, please forgive me. She understood what he had done. Before he got on the cross. You see, we think Jesus died on the cross so that people could get a revelation of who he was. The revelation of who he was has always been available. Why, explain Elijah and Enoch going straight to the heavens. We believe that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, right?
Yes.
Thank you. You see, that's the kind of faith we need right there. We believe that he's the way, the truth, and the life. So in the Old Testament, there wasn't a way before him. He has always been the way. This woman who was full of sin understood exactly who Jesus was and that forgiveness was offered way before a cross. It's like this. Jesus didn't become God once he rose from the grave. Like, he didn't go serve time in hell so that he could become God. Jesus was the Son of God before he even became flesh. He has always been the Word that became flesh, the Word of the Father, the Son of God. And he invites us into that adoption of get married to my son so you can be my sons and daughters. Be the bride of my son, and you are now part of my family. Let me go a step further. You were always a part of my family. You just didn't understand it. Feet of Jesus. We fall down, we lay our crowns at the feet of Jesus. Why? Because we'll actually start to see what we're supposed to look like. We'll start to see that all that weight is weight we don't have to keep carrying. When you get at the feet of Jesus, you start to see, well, why am I doing this? Because I don't see that in the reflection that he's given me. Again, it's not getting to the feet of Jesus so that you can see a reflection of what you are now. Because you're looking into polished bronze. You see a reflection of the you that exists in him. Jesus says, I'm the Father of me. I have come to reveal the image of the Father. And the scripture tells us that the Lord comes to be in us. We are his temple. We are his dwelling place. We are in Christ. So when I come to the feet of Jesus, I see me in Christ, and then I respond to that revelation. What is revelation? Revelation is not new knowledge. Revelation is uncovering constant truth. So when people tell you, oh, you can't get revelations today, you say, well, if you think revelation is new, you're exactly right. But we're always uncovering. We're always uncovering more of who he is. More of his goodness, more of his grace, more of his love, more of his mercy. And when you start to come to the feet of Jesus, you'll actually embrace that he wants to do just as much through you as he did with the prophet Elijah, as he did with the 12 apostles. He desires you to pour out your perfume like this woman with so many sins, not because he wants to compare you and measure you up, but he just wants, he wants us to respond to him with the revelation of, oh, I'm in him. He loves me. It'll guide everything. No more earning. Just I want to get at the feet of Jesus. That is my prayer for us moving into this next season of life as a church. We get consumed at the feet of Jesus. We don't get distracted by, oh, I don't have community. Well, I'm not getting to know people. I'm not connecting here. If you're coming here to connect with people, you will struggle. Because your first want should be, I want to get at the feet of Jesus. And connection with people will flow from a people at the feet. Not, I want to come to church so that I can have a great worship experience. I want the band to sing my favorite song. All right, Martha. If I don't hear that, I need to hear that song tonight so that I can break off these chains. Well, why is it that we break off chains only when we sing Break Every Chain? Why is it that when we have rest only when we sing When the Spirit is moving over the water, the Spirit comes, rest on us, rest on us, rest on us? Why is it that we speak, oh, I can't wait for Saturday or Sunday, that's my Sabbath day? You can have a day all you want. I'm having a Sabbath life. Because when I'm at the feet of Jesus, all I have is rest. I am satisfied when I'm in the worst part of my day. I'm satisfied when I get the worst news. I'm satisfied when I get the best news. The news doesn't shift me because I'm at the feet of Jesus. Are y'all hearing this? He's everything. He's all I need. And when we say he's all we need, we actually mean that he's all we need. That's what he wants. How do you see yourself? The last things I wrote on this page was, come to the feet of Jesus and surrender. Worship. Seek him. Receive him. That's true surrender. Amen. Amen. Let's stand together. I just want to take a few moments before we dismiss. I want to just sing that song again just a couple times of just being at his feet. This verse of laying down our crowns, it's Lord, I'm laying down everything of me so I can get the me that I see in you. I'm laying down my earning. I'm laying down false judgments made on me. I'm laying down the lie that I'm not good enough. I'm laying it all down. I'm at the feet of Jesus, and all I can do is cry, holy, holy, holy. That's what he desires. So let's just sing that together, church. We fall down.
We fall down.
If you're in this room tonight and you feel like you've had a moment where you have come to the feet of Jesus tonight, you've been carrying something that you can't shake off of you, I'm not going to ask you to come up here, because up here is no more special than where you are tonight. We're all at his feet in this moment. But if that's you, I just want to pray over you that you get a deeper revelation and uncovering of who you are in Christ. If that's you, that the Lord has just been pulling you in tonight for a deeper expression of being at his feet, can you just put your hand up? Just keep them up if you don't mind. Lord, I just thank you for the hands raised in this room, for the hands not raised. I thank you that we are in this moment where we are at your feet, Lord. And for the ones that are raising their hands saying, I'm uncovering more of the revelation of who I am in Christ. Lord, I pray and speak right now that they would start to get whole pictures. That lies would start to be broken off of their minds. I speak that weights being carried that are never supposed to be carried drop off and are left at your feet, Lord. I hear that's very specific. Some of the truest worship is laying down the weight and never picking it back up. Shutting doors and never opening them again. Deleting numbers off your phone that you keep being tempted to text and call. Going into old lifestyles, you need to close the doors to the old lifestyles. Leave them at the feet of Jesus. Oh, Lord, we love you. Lord, we love you. Let's do that one more time. We cry holy. We cry holy.
Proximity's everything. Ain't it funny, every time the example in the Bible was a woman? And I say that because there's so many dominantly male religious mindsets. I sit there and you think about it, this is a woman that's willing to lay it down. And there's another story I can think of where they drug a woman into the street. Where was the men? When you're at the feet of Jesus, it will pull religious spirits out. But the thing is, every time when you're at the feet, the ministry is at the feet. Because the woman that got drugged in the street, while he dealt with the religious spirit in the room or in the area, it said that he began to draw in the dirt. Not saying a word. He ministered while dealing with the religious spirit. I sit there and just, as he began just doing it, and the whole time I'm sitting there, just the picture being painted. Man sitting here getting baptized tonight. And I say this because for a man to show his manliness, he don't show emotions. When you're at the feet of Jesus, it don't matter. It don't matter. When you go under the water and you come up, you have a choice to go back or move forward. I said that last week. We're coming to a pivotal place where we're either going to go all in or we're going to keep going through the same things. And I think that really we have a choice. Do we want to stay at the feet? Do we want to keep going around this mountain dealing with religious systems and ideas and good, you know, just good ideas? Or do we have the perfect answer at his feet? I think tonight we, as a body, we have a choice. Where are we going to go? Are we just going to be consumed with them or things of this world? So I just feel it. Jesus did that every time. I sit here and think about it. He began to write in the dirt. The woman was dealt with by him just doing it. She never focused on anything else. The same thing with the story he just said. The Pharisees sit there and said, does he know what type of sinner he's dealing with? How many people in here are identified like that daily? People don't see you coming out of the water. They want to see every flaw, the thing you don't ain't getting perfect. That's the reason why it's so important to be around people that's going to pick you up, going to raise you up, going to walk with you. That's what this is for. So I really feel like that God's writing in our dirt tonight. Only we can deal with it. He can deal with it. He knows exactly what it is. You know what he's writing in your dirt. Are you going to let him take it away? Are you going to begin to walk in the new man? Only you can make that decision. So right now, Father God, I just thank you. I thank you for the word in this house. I thank you for each person that's here. I thank you for the purpose that each one of us have. And I pray that tonight we just lay down everything at your feet to where we can begin to walk in our purpose. We can begin to dream dreams and begin to believe that there's so much more. When the world will begin to define us as losers and failures, will say that we can't do this, we can't achieve that, that you say that we're kings and queens and we're rulers of this world, Lord. We can only do those things through you. So God, we just thank you. We thank you for the baptisms here tonight. I thank you for the ones that were nudged, that wanted to get in that water. God, I just pray that you just begin to renew us all. Give us a new passion, a new burn. Lord, I pray that this church be walking in a new day every day. So God, we just thank you. We thank you for what you're doing here. We thank you for the awakening that is happening. The things that have been dormant have now awakened. There's a new day coming. God, we just thank you for that, and we honor you in Jesus' name.